This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell live inside of the Kia Studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Happy Labor Day, man. Appreciate you guys checking us out. For most of you are off today. We are not. And tomorrow, we'll start diving in a little bit deeper into this Falcons-Eagles matchup, guys, because we're just a couple of days away from the Falcons opener. But we're coming off of a big college football weekend, and we'll get more into that in the top three. But, Mike, as far as the Falcons are concerned, pregame, by the way, 420. Wade Ford Show at 420. 620, guys. The pregame show leading you up to kickoff at 8:20 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And reminder, guys, we're going to be up at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And we'll have our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing. So come by and have a nice cold brew. And hopefully we'll be celebrating a week one win over the Eagles. And then we kind of get like a mini bye week, an extra few days for the Falcons to rest up before it's Carolina at Mercedes-Benz. But, again, come by and see us. And thanks to all the folks who picked up the beer. I know we have some folks who made a trip all the way out to the brewery, Carl, because they'll be getting in stores later this week. Hats off to a number of guys. Hit us up. One guy drove all the way from Noonan.
Wow.
To go out there today and grab a cocktail. Actually, they got the they have the bar. You can have a one of all the great drafts right there at Oconee Brewing in Greensboro, Georgia. But appreciate the love, guys. Enjoy the brew.
Yeah, we really do, man. Hey, thanks for all the support. With that said, we're going to get to the top three. Braves did not get it done today. We'll tell you what happened there. And also, Atlanta United. We talked to Jason Longshore. That interview is online at 92.9thegame.com. The analyst for Atlanta United. I know everybody's watching football, and maybe you were like me. You had the United on one TV, and you're watching football on the other. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, Mike, it was a sloppy contest, man.
Well, it wasn't as bad. Like, we've had some clunkers where we've given up things late. You know, we've talked about not closing out teams and allowing a draw in some cases, like the Toronto match at Mercedes-Benz a couple weeks back. This one, I think you got to just give credit to Wayne. Those guys are really connecting. Wayne Rooney is not here to steal money. He's getting a lot of money to come over here from the UK, but he has still got some gas in the tank, and he's making things happen. And if you didn't see Acosta's goal, I mean, he basically gets two defenders to dink one way, and then he puts it right past Brad Guzan, and it was a thing of beauty. So you just got to tip your cap.
All right, more about that coming up. As we mentioned, that interview is online if you want to go hear what Jason had to say about his thoughts on what happened over the weekend. Hopefully we'll bounce back, put it behind us, and continue to move, guys, because the standings, listen, the Red Bulls, should I say, are basically a point in front of us now.
But we got a game in hand on those guys.
We do. But the standings, you know, it still comes down to the supporter shield, and you want to be in control of that. And United still has an opportunity to do that. But everybody's chasing us, including not only the Red Bulls, but also the NYC as well. All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the top three at 6.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
You're wondering what happened with the Braves this afternoon against the Red Sox? Maybe you were there. It seemed like this was going to be a closer game than the final score indicated. 8-2, Sox beat the Braves. Took it time. Tookie Toussaint, four innings, six Ks, four hits. He gave up three earned runs. But listen to Brian Snicker, Mike, real quick, talk about how this one all of a sudden seemed like it got away from him.
Going in the seventh inning, 3-2. I mean, we were right there in the game. You know, the two-out air hurt, obviously. Yeah. You know, and then, but, you know, I liked our chances before that.
Okay. I mean, that's the thing. You got to, you know, you cannot give the Red Sox anything. You can't leave 13 men on base, which the Bravos did today. Talked about the error that hurt. Kinsler double, Vasquez double, and Mookie off Tukey, and he singles. And next thing you know, it's 3-0 Boston. Although we do get a home run from Ozzie Albies. What number was that, 22?
22.
For Ozzie Albies. So, unfortunately, you know, you cannot and you will not be able to win, especially in the postseason, if you're leaving that many ducks on the pond, and that was the case today for the Bravos.
Here is Tukey Toussaint talking about Mike just being better in everything he's got to do moving forward.
I'd say just poorly executed pitches. Stayed up and they got hit. I mean, they're a good team, so they're going to hit mistakes, you know.
Tookie's right.
No, that's you can't argue with that logic, no, Carl.
Tookie is right.
By the way, the Red Sox, and this is, and I know that you'll see more of this throughout the if and when the Braves get to the postseason. Right now, the magic number is 22 because the Phillies lost to the Marlins, and that Putz Urena actually got the win for the Fish. So the good news, magic number down to 22. But everybody's throwing that really the high hard stuff, throwing the rising fastball, trying to get the Braves to go fishing.
Ian Kinsler for the Red Sox, two for five, three RBI. But the kicker for me was that, you know, we chased their starter after three innings. And they bring in seven relief guys. Seven other pitchers come in. The rest of the game, they only give up two runs the rest of the way.
And Evaldi's pitch count was way high. It was like 80 pitches and change. And he threw like 100-mile-an-hour plus fastball to Acuna. Acuna struck out in some situations. But certainly, you just touched on it. That's why they're going to win more games than anybody in a long time. Red Sox, what's the weakness? Exactly. You got a great bullpen that can come in and throw some heat. Then you got a guy that Braves fans know and miss, Craig Kimbrell. Come back, Craig. So it's imagine a guy like that in our bullpen right now, boys.
Well, Arodis Vizcaino's on his way back. He's in Gwinnett as we speak. I believe he's going to be throwing, and hopefully he'll be back with the big squad here in no time. Top three at six brought to you by Dixie Vodka. Let's move on to story number two, which is them dogs. We need more dogs. Kirby Smart, Mike. You got to be happy with the performance. But, you know, everybody's talking about what everybody's talking about, and that's the quarterbacks, because both Fromm and Fields played. Now, if you didn't see it, Fields, you know, when he led his squad when he was on the field, three of his four series, they went and scored.
Right.
But, you know, I just felt like, and again, this goes back to last year, when I'm watching Fromm, I feel like he has better command of the offense, at least right now. Seems a little bit more comfortable. But you said it. You feel like Fields is going to have more upside when it's all said and done.
Now, it might not happen overnight, and I thought the game plan, we talked about this with Roddy DeBalzi from UGA Sports Online, it's just nothing really cooking that was really dynamic with the offense other than DeAndre Swift getting in the end zone. We saw Riley Ridley get a big catch for a score. But it was what we said it was going to be last week. You are not going to be showing your hand for what you have to do against Carolina next week. And by the way, dogs are a 9-point favorite, 9.5 in some books.
Yeah, it opened up as a double-digit number, which I was surprised, and now that number has moved. Here's Kirby talking about the fluidity of the quarterback situation.
It's just a situation where there's no plan. You know, we got to go with how things go and how the flow of the game goes. And I thought he did a good job Saturday in the game, handled things well. But, I don't know what this game's going to dictate, what this game's going to bring. So we'll see.
You buying that? There's no plan?
No. And with all due respect, I get it. Mike, how do you keep two guys who are both deserving of the job engaged?
Hmm.
The only way you do that is you say, Justin, you ready to play? Well, yeah, coach, I'm ready to play. Justin, you might get some time on Saturday. Fromm, you ready to play? Well, of course, coach, I'm ready to play. We don't know how much time you're going to see, but you need to be ready to go. He's trying to keep both guys engaged so they're ready to take over. I don't blame Kirby. We know from last year with the Easton situation, anything can change the split moment. But no, I don't buy there's not a plan. I think the plan is Fromm.
But I agree with you. It's the same thing that Saban. That's why Saban gets so ticked off when people ask him questions, including female reporters from ESPN about it, because he's trying to keep both guys engaged. Both guys feel like they've got the shot. But everyone knows that Tua right now is certainly the guy. Here's the deal. They shortened the game. They had a handshake agreement amongst the coaches to shorten that game, which was merciful.
Yeah, 10 minutes
Austin
in the fourth
P.
quarter, from 15 right. to 10 minutes.
Right, so 5 minutes get shaved off. Would we have seen more of Fields in a meaningless game? I think we're going to see. There'll be some moments where I think, and I don't know this definitively, but I think there's going to be some time where Fields is going to be called on to win some games for you this year.
I do, too. But as Kirby said, guys, it is from game to game. So we will see. South Carolina, and Roddy DeBalzi said he feels like this is the season. Simply because if you lose to South Carolina, you know, you take out of your own hands potentially winning the SEC East, which obviously gets you to the SEC championship game. So are they better than Florida, Tennessee, Missouri? Yes. But this game is one that everybody has kind of circled and said, we don't know about this one. By the way, Dan Wolken came on the morning show this morning, writer for USA Today, says he thinks South Carolina's a little bit overrated. So we'll see on Saturday, guys. Hmm. It is Dukes and Bell, top three at six, again brought to you by Dixie Vodka. Let's talk about what happened with our Atlanta United. You said you hadn't seen Jeff Larinowicz score a goal. He scored. It was the equalizer in the 39th minute.
Marco, the only one over there in the far corner. A couple steps back, strikes the ball, sends it to the spot. Larinowicz score! Jeff Larinowicz has equalized!
We knew it would happen for Larry, and he gets his first goal of the year.
Big Red, and here's the thing. We've always said on set pieces, sometimes it drives me crazy. We don't have Barco and Miggy down in the corner, and then we just don't do anything. We don't try to get the ball into the box. Put the bunny in the box. Here's the thing. Loretta, he is one of our taller guys. I mean, he's not, you know, tall, but he's taller than some of the other dudes we've got rolling out there. So let's try to use some of that size, and they did. Barco with a great job there. We talked to Jason Longshore in that interview's online, who had the call along with Mike Conti. And I said, am I making too much of Barco missing a wide-open net? He had the penalty, which created the penalty kick, which Rooney put in the net. And he says, no, you got to take the totality of it. And Barco had a number of scoring opportunities he created.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that, you know, the $15 million transfer fee is always going to be attached to him. It's Miggy's team now. Someday it'll be Barco's team. But right now there's going to be some times where you still say as a fan, come on, Barco, finish it.
By the way, George Bello, kid out of Douglasville, 16 years old, played in this game. You think about this, and this is one thing that I commend the organization on, and we talk to Darren Eales about this all the time, developing, right? So Andrew Carlton, 17, when he got his first opportunity. Barco, 18. George Bello, a kid that you'll hear about, 16. You're seeing the development of guys that we're going to get a chance to watch down the road consistently. But at the end of the day, it was not for Atlanta United.
Chapman checks his watch and blows for full time. And Atlanta United, for the first time since July 4th, loses. It's only their third road loss of the year, their fifth overall. And Atlanta United does not clinch a playoff berth tonight.
And they had an opportunity to do that. They did not. It is Dukes and Bell. What did you think of the Yellow Jackets win against Alcorn State?
You know, I mean, I know just like with Georgia against Austin Peay, you got to consider who you're playing. But, and Paul wasn't happy. We're going to play the Paul Johnson soundbite for you too, maybe if you can pull it. But one thing I do like is the versatility of that 3-4 defense and letting the linebackers kind of flow. Sometimes you think they're going to blitz, they're going to drop back into coverage. It's the kind of play, just watching the small little sample size, you're saying this is the kind of thing that help us secure games. If you're a Georgia Tech fan, how many games have wriggled off the hook in the last 2 years because your defense couldn't get stops? I think this plays much better, especially with a beast of a schedule, including next week, man. USF down in Tampa. It's Charlie Strong's Bulls team. That's Willie Taggart's team that obviously Charlie's got now. But here's Paul Johnson, never satisfied.
We've got to make a ton of progress from week one to week two, as the competition will continue to ratchet up each week we play. For as many guys as we had returning on offense, that was a pretty sloppy performance.
Wow. Okay. But, Coach, you did win 41-0. I mean, you do realize that. Paul Johnson went on to say that he thinks the offense has to be a lot better.
I guess I got a high standard. I didn't think we were consistent. I just didn't like the way we played, considering who we were playing. We didn't throw the ball well. We didn't block well. So, I mean, we converted some third downs and we scored. We should. We should be able to move the ball and beat those guys.
Hey, telling it like it is. No disrespect. Well, I guess he did disrespect Alcorn State. But anyway, he's that's Steve McNair's alma mater, but he's laying it down on the old purple and gold. Here's the deal. You know, if the offense is clicking, we say this all the time. Nobody can play it perfectly. Florida State can. I've seen them lose enough games against Georgia Tech and nearly lose an ACC championship. So when it's dialed in, there's nothing like it. But can you get at least one or two stops when Clemson calls? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. If you can run the ball, eat all that clock, and get one or two stops, there's some times where the opponent might even get the touches in the second half he needs to win.
Yeah, I'll say this. Marshall didn't throw the ball well. I mean, I get what Coach is saying. If you watch this Georgia Tech game, yes, they dominated, but this is a team that they should, to his point. But when you get in the tougher games, when you've got Clemson at home in a couple of weeks,
right,
and you need him to make throws, Mike, Kid even said, Taquan Marshall even said, I lost my confidence in the first half. I just wasn't delivering the ball the way I needed to. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, they came out and he gets hit on some passes. That can't happen in those bigger games as the season moves on.
Well, don't you think more intermediate passes, too?
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes there's a feeling sometimes when they do throw it, swing for the fence.
It's hit or miss.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you.
Hey, man, it is a great weekend of college football. Now, we talked about some of the storylines. Alabama handled their business. We talked about Saban. He apologized for getting a little, well, I mean, he was a little ticked off having to answer that tough question to an ESPN reporter who happens to be female.
Maria Taylor.
You think if it's a guy, you brought this up earlier, he's not apologizing?
No, I don't. I think, you know, first of all, I think Saban respects Maria for the job that she does, but I also think it comes off a little bit insensitive and a little bit as a bully. When you do what he did, you know, and you're like, well, don't ask me again. Okay, well, dude, first of all, why are you screaming at Maria when she just asked you the same question you've had asked 300 times prior to tonight?
But Do you feel now, starting with presidential politics, that now the media is the enemy in sports? You're getting that from Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? You're saying more and more coaches now are throwing that stuff out there.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I think, you know, it's all about deflection, right? Guys don't want to talk about what really needs to be talked about.
Well, they want to control their narrative. That's what Kirby wants to do. That's what all coaches want to do.
Yeah.
It's not like Belichick started it, but he may have perfected it. That bunker mentality where it's in the building, they don't want anything getting out, they want to control their message.
Well, and listen, I have no problem with that. But if you're going to do that, then block all the media passes and stop asking the media to come cover your games and stop asking people to write stories about you and stop asking people to cover your games.
But that's where I'm going
with. That's the thing. Everybody that you just mentioned wants to basically deflect you from what everyone wants to really talk about. That's why, you know, Saban went off. I don't blame, I hear you. But why then? What was the purpose then? He could have did that to us, Mike, when we saw him.
Well, I mean, again, the season hadn't started yet. You softballed him a nice question about his wife because you're a professional interviewer.
Well, this is true. That's
you loosened him up, and then he was feeling warm and fuzzy. That's true. Got the information. Yeah. Hey, man, one of the things that went down.
So wait. Should Maria have been like, Coach, how's your wife? And what's the quarterback situation?
I don't know. I mean, it's the heat of the moment. He's getting off the field. He just smoked Louisville. He's still upset. Whatever. Meanwhile, last night, glorious, glorious victory for LSU over Miami. There's no team with more hubris and more of an alumni or more of a fan base that makes, well, there's no percentage of that fan base that actually went to that school. Let's be honest, Carl.
The U looked terrible last night. And by the way, I liked them going into this game. LSU showed me something.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, did they ever ricked last night. That was Mark Richting. If I ever seen it.
Unprepared, undisciplined, a little fracas before the game started. We had the targeting penalty. You had a punter that didn't work. Georgia fans saw that. You're right. Special teams that don't work. A lack of poise early on. Remember the Boise State game at the Dome? Remember going to Oklahoma State? That stuff? It's kind of the same kind of a deal. Also, great job by Auburn. We did not talk about them this hour. But great job for Auburn. That could be huge later on when it comes to the college football playoffs and win against Washington.
No doubt about it. Auburn takes down Washington 21-16. We've talked a lot about it today. Coming up next, the game tonight that everyone's looking forward to, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Gene Deckerhoff next on Dukes and Bell.
Falcons football has returned. Catch all the action here live.
We got a hell of a division that we're going to go fight for.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell. We always appreciate when you guys hit us up on Twitter. Follow us at Dukes and Bell 929. He has put them up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And people love to hit us up and show us pictures of them either purchasing the beer or drinking our beer. That's right. We got our own beer. It's a Coney Brewing Dukes and Bell's Hey Man Ale. We'll have some for you on tap at Twin Peaks coming up on Friday, hopefully celebrating a Falcons win over the Eagles. All right, one more big game for the college football weekend. It's tonight down in Tally. New look offense. Gulf Coast offense with Willie Taggart. You all know about Bud Foster's defense. Fuente's done a heck of a job with the Hokies, but the signature win, could it be tonight? First thing we asked Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Seminoles and the Bucks, what's this new offense going to look like?
I can't wait till I stole the line, till Towhead's leather. It's 8 o'clock kickoff tonight. It seems like it's taken forever for this day to go by. You know, you try to sleep in a little bit, get a few extra winks, so you laze around, you read the newspaper, you know, and it doesn't even get to noon, you know, and then finally noon comes, and what's it going to be, 1 o'clock, you know, the wait, and there's no football on TV on Monday. I mean, come on, you got to sit around and, I guess, read the news and do stuff like that. I did a few chores, got the barbecue grill ready for my wife. She's going to have some friends over for the game and took care of a few things around the house. But I'm ready for some football, fellas.
I am too.
I watched football Thursday. Obviously, the Bucks played, the Jaguars played well in the first half, not the second half so much. Then Friday night, watched some good football. Saturday afternoon, evening, and then last night I tried to watch Miami. I thought Miami might play a little better against LSU, but then today there's no football, so I cannot wait until we get that game underway tonight.
It is Gene Deckerhoff, guys, and you heard it. I mean, he is the guy for the Noles and the Bucks, which we can kind of do a two-parter here, but obviously tonight we've had a chance to talk to Willie Taggart on the show. Do something! We love the phrase. What are they going to do? Give us a little bit about Taggart.
Hey, Carl and Mike, the hashtag do something is almost a trademark for Willie Taggart. But last night it was hashtag did something. He and his wife, Tanisha, pledged $1 million to the Unconquered campaign that kicked off last night, trying to raise $100 million for Florida State Athletics. So already it's hashtag did something. But Willie would be the first to tell you, hey, I haven't won a football game yet. So there may not be a more nervous individual within a radius of 400 miles of Tallahassee, Florida, than young Willie Taggart, because he's done everything the right way. He brought Bobby Bowden back to practice. He rehired Mickey Andrews, who had retired in 2010. He is an assistant to the head coach, a great defensive coordinator at Florida State. He's done everything right. He's brought the Heisman Trophy. I think two of the three Heisman Trophy winners. Chris Winkie is working at Tennessee now. He's an assistant coach. But Charlie Ward came back, and Jameis Winston came back and spoke to the team in the spring. And Derek Brooks, Pro Football Hall of Famer, came up and talked to the team. He's trying to get that tradition instilled in this football team. And he felt like when he looked at this football team when he became the head coach, he felt that was missing, and he wants to bring that back. Now, I promise you this, Jimbo Fisher probably knew every win that Florida State had against Florida, Miami, and bowl games. I mean, he was a tremendous historian when it came to Florida State football. But some of the players didn't get back involved in the program, and that's exactly what Willie is. Willie wants this team to feel like they're the dynasty era of Seminoles that won 10 or more games for 14 straight years. Nobody's done it yet since then. Alabama's close. They're like 10 or 11 in a row. But he wants to bring that tradition back into that locker room, and I think you're going to have more of a team commitment by this Florida State football team. That's what I see. That's what I feel when I'm around these guys and I watch them practice and I watch them, work out and get ready to play. This is a team, and I think sometimes you get away from the team. I don't know how Nick does it with all that NFL talent he has playing for him at Alabama. Right. Those guys are thinking about one thing. I'm going to cash that big paycheck after 3 years of playing here at Bama. That's on their minds. I think Willie's trying to bring back, hey, you're in college, enjoy the moment, have some fun, play winning football, and that's what he's brought back. And I can't wait to see this Gulf Coast offense, fellas. I mean, I'll promise you, there will not be a delay of game penalty on Florida State this season. I'll promise you that.
Yeah, it was a bit pedantic, Carl, at times, watching Jimbo's offense. I can't argue with the results of the championship. Gene Deckerhoff is with us here on the waitfor.com hotline, the voice of the Seminoles and the Bucks. Gene, you saw it from the broadcast booth. DeAndre Francois, I mean, that guy took so much punishment the year he made it through his season. And obviously, last year he goes out against Bama. He gets named the starter. He's got a grasp of this offense. How difficult, how easy was it? Because the Jimbo offense was apparently very complicated.
Yeah, and sometimes, you look back at the recruiting process. DeAndre Francois out of IMG grew up in Orlando, or played early high school in Orlando. But he came out of high school as, a top prospect, number one or number two, depending on what service you look at, dual threat quarterback. Jimbo's offense was not a dual threat kind of offense. He wanted his quarterback to learn the pro system, make your reads 1, 2, 3, 4, and step back in the pocket, feel comfortable in that pocket, and sometimes that's a square peg in a round hole, so to speak. But DeAndre, he learned the Fisher offense, obviously. He took us to the Orange Bowl his redshirt freshman year. He was the offensive rookie of the year in the ACC. He passed for 3,350 yards. You say, okay, so what's 3,350? That was the fifth most passing yards in the history of Florida State University. That's an awful – and he led every freshman by far that year when he started before he was injured last year. So, yeah, he brings the big – and you hit it right on the head. Hey, Carl, Mike, if you watch – you go back and watch videotape of Florida State versus Miami, the one that was won in the last minute when Miami had the point after touchdown block that was going to take it into overtime. Right. I call that wide block one. That's I'm sticking with that story. But you look at the beating he took. He had to come out and set at least one, maybe two series,
right,
and then came back in and somehow, some way, threw the game-winning touchdown to Dalvin Cook on a wheel route down the left sideline. That game may have been the biggest beating I've ever seen a quarterback take and continue to play. But he's a tough guy. He suffered that knee injury. He was tackled from behind, and I think there was a little extra twist to that leg after that tackle was made. Not going to point fingers, but that ended his season last year. Unfortunately, it did not end his career. If he's not 100%, he's 99.5%. He feels good about himself. He feels confident in the reconstructed patella injury that he had. And he's ready to lead this football team back to the promised land. He feels like he can lead this team to a championship. And I think that's why Willie tabbed him as his starting quarterback. Remember, James Blackman started every game last year except the Alabama game, and well, he suffered the slings and arrows. We finished 7-6, but it wasn't all James Blackman's fault. That 7-6 season, I think it's sort of a hiccup, and I don't think we'll see a 7-6 for a long time around Tallahassee for under Willie Taggart.
Gene, how good is Cam Akers? I know the kid broke all the Florida State freshman records that were set, I think, by Dalvin Cook. Is he better than Cook, in your opinion?
Well, you go by numbers, okay? He had 1,024 yards rushing last year, and Dalvin did not reach 1,000 in his rookie year. But then again, Dalvin did not start his freshman year until the Syracuse game. He'd had some carries, but he did not start until after the Syracuse was like midway through the season. And then after that, he reeled off several 100-yard games. I think he came close to 200 once. But Cam Akers, remember this, that was his first year playing running back. He was a quarterback in high school and recruited by everybody as a running back. He's got the size, about 220 pounds, 6'2", 6'3". He's a man carrying that football, and he's very fast. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the football. If there's a knock on him, maybe trying to block, because quarterbacks in high school never had to block. That's very obvious. But he's picked that up as well. And this Gulf Coast offense, those running backs are not going to have to block. They're going to touch the ball very quickly. They're either going to run a wheel route. They're going to run a little slant to the sideline, a bench route or something. They're going to get the handoff and run the ball. What Willie Taggart has had in his 8 years as a head coach, and I don't know if this is a stat, but it's in the notes, and it, to me it sort of stands out. He has always had at least one 1,000-yard rusher. He has five running backs that he has available starting right now tonight, including Cam Akers, five that I believe have the potential to reach 1,000 yards. Not all together, right, but any one of those five could be a 1,000-yard rusher, in my opinion. Cam Akers is number one. Jacquez Patrick is number two. Between the two last year, 1,772 yards. If you get that tandem going, you can get 1,700 yards out of your top two running backs. You're going to win some football games.
It's Gene Deckerhoff, guys. Always great to catch up with the voice of the Seminoles and the Bucks with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Florida State taking on Justin Fuente. Bud obviously going to have something up his sleeve defensively, Bud Foster, in that lunch pail defense for the Hokies. While we got you here, though, Gene, I don't know how much you get to see of the Buccaneers. I know you're trying to have fun during your offseason, but Jameis, obviously not going to see him for the first three games. Bucks made some moves free agent-wise, and they made some trades. What do you think the Bucks are going to look like this year?
Well, I think we're under the radar, and that's probably good. Thank the Lord there were no more HBO hard knock cameras around one place this year. I mean, good grief. I think we started reading the headlines, if you want to know the truth, and that's very easy to do. And, you know, all of a sudden you're a star on television. Boy, everybody's talking about hard knocks, and boy, we sure took it upside the head last year, big time. Buccaneers in Atlanta mid-October, play Atlanta the last game of the season down at Raymond James Stadium. If the Bucs can win one of the three games that Jameis is suspended, I predict very good things for this Tampa Bay franchise. The Buccaneers look very good in the first quarter against number one teams in the preseason. For what that's worth, okay? I know it's preseason, but the pass rush. We have not had a pass rush for 3, 4, 5 years. In fact, we may not have had a pass rush since we made it to the Super Bowl in 2002. But I really think the pass rush will be a much, much improved. Jason Pierre-Paul, in the trade with the New York Giants, I know he's played in the league for 9-10 years, but he still has that motor and that want to get to the quarterback, and I think he's good for 9.5, 10 sacks. I really do. But what general manager Jason Light and head coach Dirk Cutter did not realize when they traded, they knew they could get some sacks. They knew they had a guy that still had the potential to get, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 sacks in a season. He just got a quick step off. He's strong. He's very, very smart when it comes to playing that position. But what they didn't think they were getting was a guy that would take his team out there and practice. In the heat of 100, 105 degrees and 100% humidity, he's leading all these young guys out there in defensive drills. He's a team player. It's very obvious. And we've had some busts. Every team in the NFL has some busts, but we brought in some guys over the last 2 years that we thought was going to answer. I say we, but the team thought was going to answer our needs on defense, and they just didn't. All I know is they didn't live up to how much money they were making. I'll promise you that. But I think the acquisitions, free agent acquisitions, Vinnie Curry from Pittsburgh, Bo Allen from Pittsburgh, they have Super Bowl rings. They know what it takes to be a champion. Vita Vea, I didn't have a chance to see him because he was hurt the entire preseason. Suffered an injury the very first week of preseason practice. The boot was it was a walking cast. And I did not see him play. Now, he's a 350-pound nose tackle. We drafted him with our first-round pick. Maybe he could be a run stuffer. because you got to stuff the run. You got to stop the run to have any chance of getting to the quarterback. But I think the defensive line will be vastly improved. I would not trade our three linebackers for anybody in the country. Drafted two young cornerbacks that, by golly, look really, really good. Second-round draft picks, one out of Auburn, one out of North Carolina, that looked real good when they played in the preseason. So I think that we have the makings. You know, last in passing yards allowed, last in quarterback sacks, 22. We had six quarterback sacks, fellas, against the Jets. Take that one game. And the Jets weren't very good last year, by the way. This just in. But we had six against the Jets. Take those six away. We had 16 sacks in the remaining 15 games. It's tough to win in the NFC South if you can only get 15 sacks.
Right.
And 16 sacks in 15 games. So our pass rush is better. I think our backside's going to be better in the secondary because we'll have depth. And now let's get Jameis. Jameis had a phenomenal preseason, by the way. He'll be missed for 3 weeks. He can't be around the facility, as you know. He can't communicate with the team. I mean, he's off limits for 3 months or 3 weeks. But when he comes back, I think that he'll have a point to prove. He became a father on July the 4th. He's always been determined. I saw him in college. I've seen him in his pro career. I saw determination on the face of Jameis Winston, and I can't wait till he's off of that suspension and back and call him. He'll be ready for the Falcons when we come up to play you guys in mid-October.
Guys, that is Gene Deckerhoff. Gene, have a great call tonight, man. Enjoy.
Thank
we look
much.
Forward to hearing it. All right?
Okay, touchdown FSU.
I'd like to hear that. It's funny because Abe's working the board for us today along with Samwell. Charlie Gepp is producing. He goes, what do you think, man? Because I'm a big Florida State fan. Don't know. You know, completely new look, man, and it's not that kind of slow plotting style that Jimbo used to run. So very excited, man. And Fuente, of course, he's looking for, you could argue, Carl, that signature win. So we'll see how it goes. It's the last big game of the weekend for college tonight. You'll hear it right here.
And, Mike, I said this. You know, I'm watching this game really just to kind of get a feel for both teams. I know we always talk about the fact that you support Florida State. You know, we have our rooting interest. But you've said it. I don't know what this game's going to be. I don't know what to expect. Maybe Florida State's RPO style, you know, it works. I will say this. I think one of the things that I've already noticed about Willie Taggart is, and you saw this with his other programs, and he really didn't get to prove it at Oregon because he wasn't there as long.
Right.
But whatever it is you do well, I'm not going to ask you to do something different. This weekend, I'm watching, you know, because I'm watching all the games, and I'm watching Kevin Sumlin, who was at A&M, coach Arizona. And Arizona has a dual-threat quarterback who basically led the conference in rushing last year.
Right.
Very dangerous at that style, that RPO, keep it, pull it, throw it. He threw the ball like 35 times, and it was completely out of his element. Arizona loses. The point is, whatever you do well, let these kids do it. And I think Willie Taggart understands that.
For much of his career, Francois, what he's done well has been a greasy spot there somewhere between the hash marks because no one ever blocks for the poor guy. See what he does. He comes back. Remember, he got the knee blown out against Alabama last year, as Gene brought up the point. Here's a simple question, guys. We work on Labor Day. We work here. We talk football for you and football. F-U-T-B-O-L, too. Talks to me United. Is anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? 404-741-0929. What did you do today on Labor Day? Were you working? Were you kicking it by the lake? Were you just sitting in a hammock like Randy Mack drinking vodka?
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, 2014, 15, 16. This is the fifth year I've had to work Labor Day. I bellyache about it every year. Carl just shrugs and goes, hey, man, it's the job.
Well, listen, I won't say that. I'm not telling you I enjoy it every time. But, hey, you know what? When you're the big Willie Mike, sometimes you got to work extra.
I guess so. Hey, man, now here's the news. We don't have a real job. We have a real fun job, so we're having fun tongue-in-cheek. But who's out there? Are you working? Or were you coming back from the lake, coming back from Destin? What are you doing, man? Are you driving around trying to find our beer like that guy that hit us up on Twitter? Rode all the way from Noonan out to Greensboro, Georgia, by 20 way to find a Coney Brewery just to grab a six-pack of Hey Man Ale. I got to be honest. If I took that trip, I might have got a case. Anyway, guys, 404-741-0929. How are you spending your Labor Day Monday? Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you doing?
That's you.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm out here driving to work at the moment, man, and I turned on the app, and I was really happy to hear you guys, too, suffering up with me. So,
hey.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, there you go. See, there's the affirmation we're always looking for, Carl, right off the get-go.
We're here for you, well, at least for another 10 minutes.
We're not the only poor slob who's got to work I told I went to Publix today when I came back from the airport and I was getting my wings and everything for tonight.
Yeah, man.
And I went there, I've registered and I go, so you're getting that double overtime holiday pay, lady? She goes, hell no.
They don't take care of us like so, that.
I was like stirring things up and starting trouble wherever I go. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's Labor Day. What are you doing?
Me? I clean up the garage.
So that sounds like a fun detail.
No, what's funny is that my wife has been asking me to do this for at least 3 years, maybe four. She got me today.
There you go.
All right, man.
It was a while to complete that honey-do list, man.
I'm sure you collected some things in that garage that you don't even want or need, which means it was probably more work for you today than it would have been 3 years ago. But you got it done.
There you go. Thanks for taking us along for the cleaning detail. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's Labor Day. What are you doing today?
By the way, I don't know if I'm doing any cleaning on holiday.
You got that right.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How are you guys?
How are you? A little hungover, a little tired, but I'm getting through it.
All right. So I just got home. I sell Porsche for a living.
Nice.
And I'm sitting here trying to still like Mark Richt because I love my Hurricanes.
Shoot. Hang in there, buddy boy. That was a Richtian-like effort. Covered all the bases.
Yeah.
Undisciplined? Check.
It's tough.
Fight before the game, starting to mess? Check. Dumb penalties? Check. Special teams? Check, check, check.
Yeah, I just think...
uninspired play in a game where you had expectations to begin your season.
Well, for a team that had seven guys coming back on the defense, Mike,
right.
There's no excuse for how sloppy they were on the defensive side last night. They Richt it. They were Mark Richting in that game last night.
But, like all Miami fans, true Miami fans, you will be pulling for the Hokies tonight and hope that Florida State stinks it up at the debut of Willie Taggart up in Tally at Doak tonight. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What are you doing for Labor Day?
Besides drinking my Hey Man Ale, I finished my last six-pack as I watched God, oops, Nick Saban smacking around by Petrino over the weekend.
Nice. All right. There you go, man. Ice cold in a can, Joe. That's the way you want to drink your Hey Man Ale.
Yeah, and I can't wait to we're out tailgating, maybe at a Falcons game or a Dogs game or even Georgia Tech. It doesn't matter where you're at around town. And you grab a Hey Man Ale.
And by the way, I texted our buddies over to Coney. We'll have, hopefully by tomorrow, we'll have a full list of all the stores.
Yep.
All around Metro, so you guys know where you can find
it.
Package stores, supermarkets, etc. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What are you doing for Labor Day?
Hey, man, I'm just grilling steaks, and I'm sitting here wondering what Saban feels about his two quarterbacks, but I'm damn sure not going to ask him.
Nice job. You know what? I'll tell you what he says. Why are you going to ask me that?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. That's a play on words, guys, because Maria Taylor got... Mm-hmm. A lot of support over the weekend on social media by me, too, because she asked a question that was deservingly needed to be asked.
Well, I mean, and not that Saban is this guy, but we heard the Doug Peterson stuff earlier in the day with the comments about Foles and who's going to be the quarterback. And Foles will be the quarterback against the Falcons. Wentz ain't ready. Do you think that now coaches are becoming Sally sensitive, too, now? That everybody, in addition to wanting to control the message now, just kind of wigs out and makes the media the bad guy?
Well,
deflect.
I just don't think it plays. You can do two things. One, you can embrace it. Everybody's afraid that the media is going to do something like to rat them out or find something out that maybe they don't want them to find out.
Right.
First of all, you can't control all that. You just can't, Mike. We said this. Doug Peterson claimed that we would not know who his starter was going to be until a couple of hours before game time. As soon as he told somebody in the building,
boom,
this weekend, we knew it was going to be Nick Foles.
Right.
You just can't control everything.
Hey, man, it's Labor Day. We're working. What are you doing?
My dad has me working and moving stuff in storage on Labor Day.
You make sure your dad cuts you some bank.
Yeah, well, you getting an allowance? You getting some hourly rate? What are you making money?
He just bought me some wings.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
All right, that's cheap labor force, but that
sounds good. I like that.
Get your kids some wings. By the way, bring your kids down to Twin Peaks on Friday. That's a bonded experience for you and your son.
Well,
your daughter.
When my dad used to say, he'd tell me, we're going to do this today. And I'd say, then what we're going to do? And he said, we'll go get something to eat. And I was like, okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What are you doing today on Labor Day?
I'm packing to go up to Charleston for about 5 days. I need a couple of good bars and restaurants to go to for a middle-aged gentleman.
Charleston? You're going to Charleston?
You're going to Charleston. Samuel, you got any juice in Charleston?
Correct.
I know Five Church, because we have one here downstairs. That's probably a good starting off spot. There'll be some cougars in that bar.
Oh, according to Yelp, we got Swiggin' Swine, Coast, Prohibition. Those are a couple there for you.
Okay. Right, oh, they got a Prohibition there?
Nice. There you go. Okay. Hope right. The delay will kick in. But
did you hear what he said?
For a fine, distinguished gentleman.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah. Only the finest for our listeners, Carl.
That's it.
Hey, man. You're on the radio, amigo. What are you doing on Labor Day?
Yo. I'll be washing down some back medication with a Hey Man Ale. Thanks to Sam Tarwick.
Well, again, please don't mix it with pain meds, but enjoy either way.
Wait a minute. What happened? He mentioned you. Who is that guy? He said thanks to Sam Tarley. What's going on?
I don't know. Must be bro-in-law. He's a regular listener.
Oh, okay. Or you're hooking him up with, like, pharmaceuticals that we don't know about.
He did have a Hey Man Ale this weekend. I left one in the fridge at his house. So
nice.
He got in the review.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
I've got to be honest, though. Once I went through my allotment of Hey Man this weekend down in Florida,
yeah.
I was like, all of the beers paled by comparison.
I agree.
I mean, you need, like, a brew that's strong enough for a man, but chick dig it, too. The new slogan. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What are you doing this Labor Day? You like that? Strong enough for a man, but chicks dig it too?
No, I like
a T-shirt
that.
On
I like that. I like that.
Hey, man. It's kind of like Irish Spring, right? The commercial. You're on the radio, cowboy. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. I'm cooking up some steaks, drinking some beer, fishing until the football game comes on.
That's what's up.
Right on, man.
I'm with you on that, man.
By the way, Florida State, I think it's rich. 7.5-point favorites now. I know.
But they're at home, though. This is not a neutral site.
I know. Maybe I'm just a fatalist. Obviously, we pull for the dogs. You know that. Carl went to UT. I flunked out of Florida State. I graduated from Virginia Tech. But VPI has disavowed me. They want nothing to do with me, Carl.
Yeah, I think being at home, they're getting a little extra love.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what makes these opening games so interesting. We can talk about all the stuff in the offseason about what we think these teams are going to be. But until you see these quarterbacks, like
right.
Burrow with LSU, until you see, you know, what the special teams is going to be, Auburn's kicker all of a sudden, you're going – Auburn's got some special teams.
Well, I knew France. You know? Look, France, no one debates the kid's toughness. He's had a rough offseason with some bad decisions off the field. Hopefully he bounces back. You got the final word, man. What are you doing on Labor Day?
Hey, Saturday I watched Auburn-Washington beat my Auburn Tigers beat Washington. And today my family had dinner at Chili's.
You see, that's just good family values right there, Carl.
I want my baby back. Reeves.
Good American right there.
Hey, man, thank you so much for participating in our game winner, guys. Hey, we're going to come back. We will clear our throats. Here's the deal tonight, by the way. They tell me Stan Norfleet will be on after the game. It's Virginia Tech taking on Florida State. Pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8. So you'll hear a couple of radio replays leading up to the pregame show. But we got college football for you here tonight. And then Thursday, guys, Falcons, Eagles. Tomorrow, Mike and I will be back talking plenty more about that, getting you ready for the matchup. We'll come back, tell you what you missed, and clear our throats next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.